Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio's weekly wrap-up. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the STV studios right here in New York, and for the next hour, we will be discussing the world of professional wrestling at 347-215-8486, 347-215-8486, if you'd like to get in on our conversation. Of course, as always, you can hit us up in the chat room, and we'll take your questions and your comments there as well. We hope everybody had a wonderful Thanksgiving, and we hope you're not going to go too crazy here on Black Friday. Thanks for joining us for a small portion of it, at least, and listening to some very interesting wrestling news. And that interesting news is that the WWE has apparently lost a major television deal. Now, before we panic, we should say, we don't know if the WWE is attempting to negotiate a different deal with a different company in that region, or they are just pulling out. But J Sports has announced, Japan that would be, they will no longer be featuring WWE Raw, SmackDown, or WWE content on their network as of, I think, end of January of this coming year. Meaning that the WWE fans in Japan have currently no access, other than the internet, of course, to WWE programming. This is a major market, a very major market, folks. And that news is, to say the least, baffling. Now, there are some people who are saying the WWE held out for a better deal. They're going to be announcing a bigger, better deal with a different company. That's possible. We don't have any word on that, but that's possible. But J Sports is not carrying it, and they carried it for quite a few years. And if WWE has no presence, really real presence anyway, in Japan, that is a major, major. So we have to keep up on this, but Mike, I find this shocking. They were the ones who said they wanted to break China and Asia markets and be big in those markets, and they were wrestlers for a while, and now all of a sudden, as of January of next year, little or no presence that we know of in Japan.
Wow. I mean, that is huge. And think about it. I mean, this is – now, granted, you're right. It could be one of these things where they're going to end up switching networks, you know, switching from JTV to something else. But until that happens – They have no presence, and this is sort of a I don't know how long it's going to take it for it to happen, but this is kind of sort of good news for places, for people like, I don't know, AEW and stuff. If they want to get a foothold in Japan, I mean, I know they got people. I know they brought on other people, and look, it doesn't help the WWE, because think about this. Who's on their roster right now? I know she's not. Asuka's there, and we have a few other Japanese wrestlers there. That without that deal, without any their fans that remain, the Asuka fans that are in Japan can't see her, other than on the internet.
Very right. It's very right. It's a baffling thing. Now, again, I'm not trying to panic people, because maybe they just decided, much like maybe they might decide US is not the right fit for them, they want to go somewhere or whatever, like did with SmackDown. Maybe they'll do that with Raw and SmackDown. But this is all WWE content was being streamed by this J Sports. And they are no longer streaming any of it. And the WWE, I know, as of today, has not made any announcement saying that our Japanese fans can look forward to seeing us on this network or this network. It's very, very unusual for a company this big to cancel a television deal without having another one. In other words, usually what you do is you say, well, let me feel out the, they're offered something better or bigger. Then they may say to Jay Sports, we're not renewing this contract. But they already have in the back another network or another service. This does not appear to be the case because the WWE has made no announcement. So as far as Japanese fans, the only announcement they've made is Jay Sports is not carrying it. You will not be able to see your SmackDown other than perhaps clips on the internet or streaming it or piping it somehow, Todd. This is a major loss, I would think. If the WWE loses Japan for any length of time, even a few months, that could be big.
Well, you're absolutely right there. But like you said, this is like be a huge loss for the Japanese viewers out in Japan and the other Asia countries too. And you know, it's a big loss for both parties, actually.
No doubt. No doubt. It baffled me when I found this out. I was absolutely baffled at how the WWE could allow that to happen. Because remember, this is a company who not so very long ago said, we're taking over the Asian market. We're taking over the whole world, remember? They were going to go to the Indian countries, the Asian countries. They were signing all these wrestlers. Now, all of a sudden, everything's going in reverse. They're letting us go. They're losing TV deals in foreign markets. What the hell is going on? What the hell is going on? We don't know. We'll keep you updated, but that is a major, major blow to the WWE. If they lose any television deal in Japan, I think that's huge. Anyway, we have Ric Flair, who now has a podcast. And on his podcast, Ric Flair made a pretty definite declaration. He said, I will never work for the WWE again. Now, later in the podcast, he said, let me make this clear. I would work for Vince McMahon. I still think this is all Vince McMahon's fault. He blames Nick Khan. He said, I have sources, and sources tell me that Nick Khan was the one who wanted me gone, wanted me removed from SmackDown. They wanted the woo gone in the beginning of SmackDown, the whole nine yards. And I have not worked for the WWE as long as he is a part of it, which he said is probably for the foreseeable future, so he doesn't see himself working for WWE again since he's in his 70s. That's a shame, really. And we're going to get into this a little bit because other stories come up about this cancel culture thing. And everyone seems to want to go in the wrong direction. Let me explain why. The things Ric Flair was accused of, he was only accused of. That until you are guilty and proven guilty, you're innocent. Now, the WWE may have thought, in the best interest of our company, we're going to part ways with him because this is going to be controversial. I think this is a mistake. I would have said, we have spoken to Ric Flair involving this incident. No charges were ever pressed. No investigation ever took place. Ric Flair says he is innocent, and in this country, we're innocent until proven guilty, so we believe him. Should more details come out that prove us wrong, we'll be more than happy to reverse that thought process. But until then, these are just allegations, and allegations are not convictions. But the WWE opted not to do that. Nick Khan opted not to do that. Because you see, Nick Khan is probably the real trouble in WWE. People blame Vince McMahon, but I think Ric Flair was right. Nick Khan is one of those people who probably doesn't know wrestling at all. He only knows business. And he is taking this as a business venture, saying it doesn't really matter what the product is in the ring. All businesses run the same. He's wrong. Not all businesses run the same. And when you're in the professional wrestling business, which is a weird business, the product in the ring is very important, and the morale of your workers are very important, and the perception that you will stand behind them is very important. If you do not have that, and you only have a locker room full of people who think, well, we're just temporary employees, I'm just waiting for my pink slip, you got a big problem. And you can say what you want about Ric Flair. You can say he's old school, he's out of touch, he's this, he's that. But Ric Flair certainly knows the wrestling business better than Nick. And when Ric Flair says that they're running the business wrong, when Ric Flair says I wouldn't work for this business the way it is, not Vince McMahon, but the business the way it is now, because this is a doomed situation. The way it's working, it's going to lead to disaster. I would assume he knows. And the thing that bothers me, I guess, the most is this. Ric Flair was working for the company for years and years and years after this supposed incident. It took Vice and their Dark Side of the Ring documentary with mostly hearsay to bring down his career. I'm not for this, folks. If Ric Flair did what he was accused of doing, then he needs to pay the price for it. But the deal is this. You pay the price for it within a few years of when you did it. I mean, you can't say, well, you know, way back in 1973, this guy rocket me. I didn't say nothing at the time, but you know what? He did assault me, and so I want him fired from his current job. I want all kinds of money. I want this and that. Well, where does this end? Taking Ric Flair's side, because I don't know what happened, but I do know this. If someone to in any way, shape, or form assault me or forcibly touch me against my will on an airplane, as soon as the airplane landed, I am going to the police. I'm waiting 5 years. I'm not hushing up and not even telling my parents. I am documenting it by writing it down that this is what happened to me. I'll have a police report on it because you'll see that I reported it. None of which happened. The people are saying, well, I think the WWE did the right thing. I think the WWE, well, in their case, Ric Flair is way out of line, are the people who are cheering Matt Riddle. Well, guess what? He's the worst. Matt Riddle was accused of forcible sexual assault. Not just touching. Not just, I won't let you leave and I'm getting naked in front of you. It was forcible oral sex. Now you're cheering him. He's the greatest guy in the world, right? And guess what? He was innocent. That's right. He was innocent. At the time, Matt Riddle was someone I could not stand. And I still don't think he's a very nice guy based upon what his wife has said about him moving away from his children and he had an affair on. Oh, yeah, you know, he's probably not a nice guy. But right is right. And when he said, I didn't do it, and when we started to add up the pieces, said, well, Jesus Christ, this was his girlfriend that he was cheating on his wife with for months and months and months and months and months. I doubt very greatly he was going to do anything, let alone an act like that where you could end up in the hospital real quick if the girl was wanting to get away from you, right? I said, I don't know. I want to wait and see what the evidence is. Well, guess what the evidence was? She lied. So how do we know that this steward, who was arrested for criminal impersonation later in her life, stealing diamonds, forging checks in people's names and everything else, how do we know she's not lying? Why are we automatically taking her side? We didn't do that with Matt Riddle. Why would we do it with Ric Flair? The WWE didn't remove Matt Riddle. The WWE didn't say, well, I mean, somebody made an allegation and said he's gone. So it does make me wonder, Mike, why they were so quick to jump off the bandwagon.
Right. And think about this. You're talking about the morale of the people in the back. And we've heard rumors about... we kind of figured out that the thing between Charlotte and Becky Lynch, it was a work. Okay, fine, whatever. But we knew also that Charlotte's morale is not really there, right? She doesn't seem to want to be there at times. And I've speculated it's kind of due to the fact that once her father got fired, you know, and it all goes back to Nick Khan. Nick Khan made the business decision to fire her, Ric Flair. Well, Ric Flair was a buffer. I won't say keeping her in line, but keeping her mind in the right place. Now we see what's happening with Charlotte, and it's all due to Nick Khan. And look, we get on when he was running WCW, Eric Bischoff, because he was all about business. What pushing what people made the right business sense. But at the time, he knew wrestling. He wasn't booking it. Well, he was booking it, but he wasn't a booker per se, but he knew the business of the sport. So I had no problem. I had no problem if he wanted to fire somebody or whatever, because he knew the business. Nick Khan, by all rights, doesn't seem to know the business of wrestling anymore. He does know, to use a term, what's best for business.
No, apparently he doesn't. And once again, we are left to ask ourselves, why would Matt Riddle be treated differently than Ric Flair? I would think it would be the opposite. I would think someone with such a long-standing history in wrestling, in pro wrestling, would be given the benefit of the doubt above someone who doesn't have that tenure. And it seems like it went reversed. It seems like they said, no, we're standing behind Matt Riddle. And it seems like the minute this came out about Ric Flair, like, we're done. You're out. Goodbye. Guess what the difference was? Nick Khan wasn't there when Matt Riddle had these allegations made against him. Now we may be getting a clearer picture thanks to Ric Flair. Why this WWE thing is falling apart before our eyes. Now, Eric Bischoff has said, I don't blame Vince McMahon or any of the company for these firings. You have an obligation to your shareholders to make the biggest profit you can possibly make. And if that includes cutting people, then that's what you have to do. That's bogus. I'm going to tell you why it's bogus. It falls apart for a couple of reasons. You do not fire critical employees who are making you money if that's the case. You might fire people who you say, really, they're just hangers-on. If you're going to tell me that the WWE has an obligation to cut ties with people they really aren't using and it's just X salary, then I'm going to name you five guys right now who need to go. Sami Zayn, he's doing absolutely nothing. There's not a reason in the world for Sami Zayn to have a job. Not a reason in the world. Why is Ricochet still involved in anything? You're doing absolutely nothing with him. Shelton Benjamin employed. Not only is he old, you're not doing anything at all. Why is Tozawa employed? Not doing anything. And R-Truth, why is R-Truth around? In his 50s and you're not doing anything with him. So don't give me the we're cutting the people who are non-essential. You're pissing on my leg and telling me. I was in the store yesterday doing a little bit of shopping, and what do I see? A WWE replica belt, and guess what icons they have that you put on the belt? Bobby Lashley's icon? No. Was Roman Reigns' icon? No. Was it Big E's icon? No. It was The Fiend. Someone made the decision the best way to sell is put The Fiend's face on the icons. I wonder why. And then you're going to tell me cutting him was a business decision. It was just all came down to cutting thousands of people that we didn't really need. Bullshit. I'm calling bullshit. Nick Khan has not made the company better unless Nick Khan was hired for one reason, and that is to cut away every single drawback to having this business sold. Other countries you might not want, contracts with other companies you might not want. When are you going to cancel the Saudi Arabian deal? Oh, you're not going to, because that's a huge money, right? Thought it was all about cutting things down so that you might sell. Well, if it's not selling, if Vince McMahon isn't looking to sell, which I still say is a possibility, then Nick Khan is ruining this business. And that cannot be. So we'll see where this goes, because this is a major story now. When you start losing Japanese TV deals, when wrestlers in the locker room are grumbling, when longtime veterans of the business are saying, "I would never work for the WWE again," if he's saying that about himself, how in the world do you think, what do you think he's telling his daughter? And then what do you think his daughter is telling women backstage who are, you know, her friends, even though people say she doesn't have any, I'm sure she has plenty of friends backstage. What do you think she's telling them? This is not good for business in any way, shape, or form. Anyway, more news has come out about the guy who attacked Seth Rollins. I'm not going to mention his name because I don't give people like that airtime to make them famous. I don't want people going to their Instagram accounts or their Facebook accounts or whatever. But the guy who attacked Seth Rollins is a little like a caboose. We mentioned time and time again on the show that Seth Rollins did exactly the right thing. And a lot of people said, "No, man, he should have just wailed him." And I said, no, because here's what's going to happen. If this kid turns out, and it turns out the truth, let me give you that story first. This dude makes a video saying, "Vince McMahon booked me to do this. And I did it for Vince McMahon and for The Rock and for Goldberg and for Finn Balor because I like Finn Balor. And I was trying to help out Finn Balor." But here's what it really turns out. Poor dude got catfished. He thinks on Seth Rollins' Instagram account or whatever, and Seth Rollins hits him up and says he wants him to do some work for him. And what he wants him to do, I guess, is he's going to get his foot in the door in the business. But he's going to need to transfer, "You send me these gift cards and I'll send you checks for the money back," so that I don't know what the scam was. But basically, send me money and I'll reimburse you. This dude didn't have the money. This dude literally had his girlfriend cut checks to buy gift cards, and the checks bounced. My friend was arrested for writing bad checks for gift cards to send to the guy who he thought was Seth Rollins. And then Rollins, in turn, or somebody who's supposed to be Rollins, sends him bad checks. So he got all his money, and his girlfriend is in jail. And he thinks Seth Rollins really did that. He thinks that's the real Seth Rollins he was talking to. Because, of course, the real Seth Rollins has nothing better to do than scam some dude at $3,000 or $4,000 when he wipes his ass with $3,000 or $4,000. That's how light in the caboose this guy was. He's changed his story four or five times because he doesn't want to embarrass himself to say, "I did it because I got catfished online." So then he says, "No, I did it for Finn Balor, I did it for this, and I did it for that." The guy isn't all there. So guess what would have happened, folks? Let's say Seth Rollins beat the hell out of him, got two good punches, broke this kid's nose, knocked a couple teeth out. His family's going to get a lawyer. And I don't know if I ever told this story, but at one stage in my life, I considered being a lawyer. I know the law very well. And I know, as his lawyer, the very first thing I would have done, what I would have said the following. This is a young man who is clearly has a low mental capacity. He was online and he was scammed by someone he believed in his heart of hearts because of his innocence, because of his lack of mental capacity. He truly believed Seth Rollins did this. Barclays Security allowed this kid to jump the barricade unimpeded. That is unacceptable. He tackled Seth Rollins, but in no way, shape, or form was he throwing punches. It was Seth Rollins, a professional athlete, a man who fights for a living, whether it's predetermined or not, who took advantage of this situation because he knew it would get around and broke my client's nose, was overly violent toward him on purpose, and my client is the one that suffered for it. Now, we agree he shouldn't have jumped the barricade, but where was security to stop him? Isn't that their job? Seth Rollins knows security is right backstage and he's going to have people running. Why did he feel the need to beat on this person when he clearly had him in control? He was excessive violent. He went above and beyond what he should have done as a professional athlete and what you're told to do as a professional athlete. And as a result, my client was injured and I demand compensation. That is what would have happened. I know how the law works, and I know how lawyers work, and that is exactly what would have happened, and guess what? He would have won. He would have won, especially with the Barclays security. They would have said absolutely correct. Where was security? And because of that, my client got injured. That's a win for his client. He might have even won with Seth Rollins because they might have said, well, you know, it is true. We see Seth Rollins clearly had him in a guillotine headlock, and yet he's insisting on punching him. Why would he do that? He knows security's right there. He knows the referees are coming. Why would he do that? It was excessive. And this poor kid would have got on the stand and said, I don't know. I was scammed by Seth Rollins. All my money is gone. I would have said, ladies and gentlemen, do you see how the mental capacity of my client? In his heart of hearts, he thought he was doing the right thing. And this professional who had nothing better to do than just to hold him down for a moment, just a moment, till security hauled him off, decided to use this opportunity to maliciously pound and batter my client. That's what would have happened. I'm telling you it would have happened. Collins would have been, could have been in trouble, could have been in legal trouble. WWE would have sold it. They wouldn't have went to court. They would have said, well, we'll give the kid money. So Seth Rollins, Mike, did exactly the right thing because anything more than this would have resulted in lawsuit.
That's right. He did the exact right thing. I mean, remember, let's look at kind of the same situation. The guy who jumped the thing at the award ceremony and did something to Bret Hart, right?
Yep.
And what did the wrestler do to that guy? He punched him. Now, he got lucky that the guy didn't sue the WWE. And
the reason that's different, I'll tell you why the reason that's different. This guy that jumped it and tackled Bret Hart to the ground, perfectly mentally sound. Now, if he got a lawyer, he might have gotten away with security should have stopped him, but he saw security literally on his ankles. Security was in there like an eighth of a second after him. There was no security at all. Where was Barclays security? I'm watching this tape back, and referee is on top of him, and another WWE official on top of him, and I still don't see any Barclays security. I still don't see him. Well, really, to be honest with you, that kid has a case against Barclays Security as it is now. But he doesn't have a case against the WWE. Because Seth Rollins did nothing wrong. All he did was subdue him. He did not further the incident. That's another legal term. While Seth Rollins escalated the incident by starting to throw punches. If you watch, my client wasn't throwing any punches. It was Seth Rollins who struck the first couple of blows. What was my client supposed to do? So once Seth Rollins started throwing punches, my client had to defend himself. The law works in weird ways, folks. And, you know, you're going to sit there and watch a guy be portrayed as a professional fighter and a professional athlete who takes advantage of a obviously low mental capacity dude who wasn't really doing anything other than laying on him. They're going to say, yeah, you know what? The kid shouldn't have done the barricade. The kid was scammed online. He's not well in the head. Seth Rollins didn't need to punch him in the face five times. How outrageous. I'm telling you, juries will do that shit. I'm telling you they will. So for Seth Rollins, who I've said a million times on the show, he's not my favorite person. But for Seth Rollins to show that kind of professionalism, to say, okay, I'm only going to hold him. That's all I'm going to do until security comes. He showed great restraint. He showed extreme professionalism in the face of a very difficult situation. Gotta remember, Seth Rollins doesn't know if this guy's got a knife. He showed great professionalism there. That's someone you can really rely on in a pressure situation, because I'm telling you, I don't know what I would have done. Your first thought that goes through your head is he got a knife? Has he got a weapon? Any second, I could be stabbed. I could be whatever. I'm not sure what I would have done. And that's because, you know, your adrenaline's flowing. Your temper gets the best of you, right? You know, God damn it. And you might throw a punch. Seth Rollins was very calm, cool, and collected in this, Todd. And because of that, he has alleviated the WWE, at least. Maybe not Barclay, but he's definitely kept the WWE out of legal trouble.
I mean, absolutely right here. Like you said, like we said the other day about Seth Rollins, restrained himself. And, like you said, he did the right way. He held the guy down to the ground, like a headlock thingy, to keep him until security came to take him out.
Right. And then afterwards, Seth Rollins was not interviewed, but TMZ caught up with him, put it that way, and they asked him about it. And I'll tell you, he was very, very professional there, too. He said, look, it was a really scary situation. I put him in front face lock. I was just holding him down. I knew security was going to be there. And they were, you know, they did their job as quick as possible. I'm thankful for that, and I'm thankful nobody got hurt. See, this is what he said. I'm thankful nobody got hurt. Not I'm thankful I wasn't hurt. He said, I'm thankful nobody got hurt. Meaning the person, too. So, yeah, this is a very good thing. I'm sure this act probably increased his value a little bit in the WWE, because I think now that the powers that be, Vince McMahon and company, say, wow, he handled that exact right. Press as well afterwards. A lot of people wouldn't. So I'll give him credit for that. A lot of people wouldn't. Anyway, we have the AEW to talk about a little bit here, because I promised you another one of these cancel culture situations. And apparently Billy Gunn's son, Austin, when he was 17, I don't know how old he is now, 20, 21. So 4 years ago, tweeted something about all of my N-words. But, again, the N-word with an A on the end of it. Okay? That spelling. Getting together to do this, that, or the other thing. Well, somebody found it. And now he's got to go on his account and say, I was so stupid when I was young. And I am so ashamed of my language. And I'm so, so recalcitrant. And I look back on it and I'm so upset and ashamed at myself. And my family didn't raise me this way. And I don't know whatever possessed me. And I hope you realize that I'm not that man anymore. I don't know what the hell you're talking about. I don't think you owe anybody an apology. I got news. That spelling of that word is used every goddamn day. Mostly by African Americans, but also by, you know, musicians and things. You know, I guarantee you that if there's a white musician, I guarantee you, if Eminem uses the word, it's fine. Everything's fine. The problem is, it's not this meaning. There's two different meanings. This meaning has become like my brothers, my family, but it can only be done if you're African American or you're in the rap culture. That's the only time you can use the word, apparently. So we now in the English language have words that only certain ethnic groups can use without it being offensive. That's bullshit. The guy didn't use the N-word traditionally. If he did, I would have said, yeah, man, way out of line. He didn't. And he should not apologize for it. What he should have said was, I got news for you. When I was a 17-year-old kid, this word was being thrown around by everybody as a term of endearment and really meant more about brothers and the people close to me, my group, my gang of people. It meant no disrespect to anyone of any ethnicity at all. Far from it. It's used every day in rap culture to mean exactly what I just said. So because I'm white, I can't use it? Why? He owes no one an apology. He did not use the N-word as far as I'm concerned. And this is all bullshit.
It is. And that's the thing. And think about this. There's a term for a white guy that acts that way, okay? And it's basically that word, with the letters WH in front of it.
Right.
You know, and nobody says that's racist. Nobody says that, you know. So, and it's the exact same thing. It's the exact same word. I mean, look, you can't. This is the problem with this cancel culture, this type of stuff. I mean, you know, we've talked about this before. The cancel culture, you cannot be a comedian today. You know, I mean, you got to give it to Dave Chappelle, but you cannot be a comedian today. I mean, look, Richard Pryor, you know, Red Fox, you know, all these guys who were the classic, you know, comedians could not do what they do today, yesteryear, today, because, it's not kosher, you know, and that's what this is. This is cancel culture.
The most egregious is because we now live in an age, apparently, where language is based upon your skin color or your race, and that should never be. We all have the same language. That's the one thing we're supposed to share, right? We can use the same words. I don't understand this. Does the intent of the word not mean anything? In other words, if someone said that word, meaning say to my buddies, my pals, you think he's trying to insult them? So doesn't the intent of the word mean anything? He didn't come out here and say, oh, you nasty, low-living, you know what? Then I would have said, well, this guy's insane. He's obviously a racist and ludicrous. He was using it as a term of endearment. He was using it to describe his buddies and his pals and the people in his circle. We've done it. Hey. The intent of the word has to matter. It has to. Because if it doesn't, then we can't even talk, because you could twist anything into anything. Friends came over to me and said, hey, there's my favorite cracker. I'd say, well, that's a horrible insult. I'm a Caucasian people, and I'm no longer your friend. I'd laugh. I know what his intent is, to make me laugh. Why is that a horrible thing? And then if somebody tweeted to me 5 years ago, should he apologize to the whole Caucasian race? No! He's talking to me. You really got to ease up on this, folks. You really ease up on this. Under no way, shape, or form, that kid have to apologize. He didn't do anything wrong. He was using the terminology and slang of the time and his culture. Because he can put himself cool like that. You know what I mean? All of the, let's face it, a ton of the white kids and the white population were all going with this rap culture. They were dressing like rappers. They were listening to rap music. They were incorporating their language. They were incorporating even their phraseologies, and they were incorporating their accent even. And everybody was saying, that's fine, that's wonderful, that's great. But the minute you use one phraseology, so, oh, you can't do that. Only we can do that. Oh, that's bullshit. I don't accept that. Speaking of things people do not accept, apparently Tony Khan was extraordinarily angry backstage at CM Punk and MJF for using WWE wrestlers' names in their promos, which was not apparently okayed. So when The Miz was mentioned, when John Cena was mentioned, Triple H was mentioned, Tony Khan did not sign off on that. And he wasn't happy about it. Now, they said he didn't confront anybody, but they said privately he was upset. He should be upset. Because to be honest with you, as funny as it is, If you just keep mentioning WWE guys, all you keep doing is AEW is showing people we're worried about them. We know who they are. We're talking about them. Why are you talking about the opposition? When's the last time the WWE mentioned any AEW star to cut a promo? Now, here's something hilarious, though. Poor MJF, who really is good at what he does, had a poll, apparently. There was a poll taken. Who is actually better on the mic, MJF or The Miz? And they put it online. And MJF put, basically, it's no competition. And he didn't even put it in kind words. Okay. I don't know what he exactly said, but he basically really came down saying The Miz is fourth rate compared to me. Unfortunately, several hours later, The Miz was winning by a large margin. So MJF deleted his tweet. The Miz won by a considerable margin. I'm not saying The Miz is better on the mic, but one thing that CM Punk said that was true is a more famous or a less famous Miz. Correct. And that's why this is very important. As good as MJF is, I'm not sure where his fame is going. You know, we're all sitting here saying he's going to be the future of AEW. He could be the future of WWE because this guy is pretty smart. And I think this guy realizes I'm at the top of my game and I'm not even popular. My contract comes up. The WWE offers me something good. I'll think about it because I'd be over there doing what? I'd be, you know, easily as famous. Maybe not, you know, doing as well. Maybe not the champion. Maybe the top guy, but I would be infinitely more famous. And some people go infinitely more famous, and here's why. What happened to The Miz? Is he going to go down in history as one of the world's top greatest wrestlers of all time? No. But how much good came out of his WWE tenure? He gets TV shows. He gets movie roles. He gets syndicated reality shows. He gets on Dancing with the Stars. He's a celebrity, man. He's a celebrity. I don't see that in AEW. So this is a little bit of a problem for people in AEW who may have future plans to be more famous than rich. Let's put it that way, Mike.
Right, and think about this. What was one of the things that that CM Punk said to MJF in their little 20-minute gap fest? He said that he goes, "You think you're one of the pillars of the AEW? No, you're not even as good as Britt Baker."
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Look, the situation is Eric Bischoff is right about one thing. Eric Bischoff said if CM Punk and Daniel Bryan were such huge, huge, huge draws, how come they're not drawn? How come their debuts and maybe a week or so afterwards, the ratings soared and then they just crashed right back down to what they were? They're not getting extra people. So the longevity drawing power has been proven to be not very good. He's right. I mean, you got to give the devil his due. He's right. If you have this kind of wrestling federation with this type of talent in it, and you're still drawing viewers, you got to ask yourself what's going on. We have a great roster of people. We're putting on great matches. And we seem to be having some trouble here, you know, getting really loyal fans expanding our fan base. We have some loyal fans, but where's the question of this fan base coming from? And we also got to understand that MJF said something that I think is true, too. MJF said, "It's great that you're straight edge, but I'm shocked that a straight edge guy can look like a crack addict." And I said to myself, CM doesn't look okay. He doesn't look tough. He doesn't look like he could take on some of these guys who are in the peak of their athletic career. He looks like a tired, very quickly aging guy who's way past his prime. Now, in the ring, he still does well, concerning. It's just that overall look. He's standing next to MJF, and he looks 100 years older. And he's not. He's not that old. MJF hit a critical point there where he says, how's a guy who's straight age and lives life without booze and alcohol and cigarettes and drugs and everything else, how are you looking like that? You know, it's just genetics, obviously, but, I mean, Toddy's right to a certain extent. CM Punk looks infinitely older than MJF.
I think you're absolutely right there, like you said, about CM Punk and everything. And, you know, I don't like him. You don't like him as a wrestler, but the one thing he's good at, he's always good on the mic.
Oh, he's definitely good on the mic. But is it going to equal ratings? I don't know, because so far it hasn't. So far it really hasn't. Now, one of the next things we heard, and I'm sure Vince McMahon does not want to hear this, is Roman Reigns, maybe he was being tongue-in-cheek. Maybe he's setting up this feud for The Rock that they're saying is inevitable. But Roman Reigns has said, yeah, I'm thinking about doing some movies. I'm thinking about getting more into movies. Well, this is not a good thing. If he's serious, it's not a good thing. And here's why it's not a good thing. If he's deadly serious and he was speaking totally out of character and not trying to just needle like a needle Rock and kayfabe, he has a very powerful ally to get him into the movies, doesn't he? Because if The Rock wanted to, he could walk onto any set of any movie and say, yeah, fine, but you're going to have to use my cousin. I want a role for him. They'd put the role in for him. Or, oh, you have this role? I'd like you to use my cousin. And they'd say, done deal. Because he draws that much at the box office, they'd say, well, we need him. We need The Rock, so if he wants his cousin to be in the movie, fine. And then what happens if Roman and somebody says, hey, man, we got another guy we can use here. It could be The Rock Part 2, where all of a sudden you see Roman Reigns part-time wrestler. You got to understand one thing very clearly, folks. As good as Roman Reigns is doing, the WWE has hung their hat on him. We've said on this show time and time again, you can say what you want about the push of Big E. There's a little bit of a push there, but the big thing in the WWE is Roman Reigns. And this is a man who has problems. Now, God willing, never return. God willing, it's 100% done. And he's healthy as a bear for the rest of his life. That's truly what I hope. But it's not a guarantee. And maybe he sees it too and says, I can't continue to do this. This is going to really be bad for my health for another couple of years of this and swing my way maybe into movies. It's a little easier and that'll be it for me. Where's the WWE going to turn? You don't have anybody. If you're Vince McMahon right now, you better be on red alert. You better start building up some major, major talent. Because if Roman Reigns in a year or two says, I think maybe this is going to be my, I know he's teased he's going to sign another contract, and he probably will, but let's say he signs even another 3-year contract. But he wants stipulations in there. I can be gone for some time in case I need a movie. I don't want to work as much. Where's your next guy? You don't have one. You better start preparing for him now. Mike, if they don't, they could be caught really off guard with this.
Right, and think about this. Before was it Jimmy came back, they were calling Jey Uso Big Match Jey, and it looked like they were trying to build him up as a singer star, which we know was not going to be the case because Jimmy was going to come back anyway, and they're the best tag team in the world. But what happens if he leaves? And what happens? The best thing is not just him that he would affect. He would affect the Usos. He would affect, you know, what they possibly might do with Naomi. You know, I mean, it's not just him that Roman Reigns would be affected. Hell, he probably affect what they are doing currently with Paul Heyman.
Yeah, there's a lot of questions there, but they can all be answered easily, and that is keep your guys built up, talent who you want to say, this is my future. See, this is what AEW, the WWE is not doing. I can clearly see who AEW thinks their future is. Clearly see it. They think their future is Darby Allin and Sammy Guevara and MJF and Jungle Boy and a few others. In the meantime, while they're building toward being top guys, they've got their top guys. That's smart. WWE is saying, we don't need anybody else. Roman Reigns ruling, and over in Raw, we'll have Big E, and that's all we need, and that's fine. Okay. And everybody else is, C-. Well, I don't know what to tell you, because you're about two injuries away from having no one. Let's just say something horrible happens. Let's just say there's some sort of an incident, and Roman Reigns and Big E have to relinquish the belts because they're hurt. You're going to have to go back to Bobby Lashley and Drew McIntyre. That's all you're able to do. And then who's their challenger going to be? I mean, you're in a tough situation. The WWE should have 5, 6, 7 guys waiting. Remember the old days when you're like, oh, my God, look at the top guys that you have. Any one of these guys could go for the title at any time. You had The Rock and Austin and Triple H and Shawn Michaels and The Undertaker and Batista and the list on and on and on of people. You don't have that now. Now, before we close the show, I want to address a rumor. Totally obviously, no one can prove this. But I did want to mention it because you're going to see it online, and I don't know what the validity of this is. But someone mentioned to me that isn't it unusual that very shortly after Triple H took his vaccine, he ends up in a hospital with a heart condition. And the vaccine supposedly is causes a lot of heart conditions in people. Now, they said it was a genetic heart disease. They said Triple H has had this. Totally genetic, has nothing to do with anything other than genetic. But we don't know that for sure. So there is a rumor saying the length of time between his vaccination and his heart problems seems to indicate that there may be a connection. I don't know. I'm only addressing it because you're going to hear it and you'll read about it. All I can tell you is this. Do your own research and figure out what you think for yourself, because the WWE is never going to say anything like that. One way or the other. They're not going to come out and say, we guarantee you that absolutely nothing to do in any shape, way, shape, or form of the vaccine. They're just not going to address it. The best you're going to get is that they have said, the doctors have said it's genetic. Now, I want people to understand something. Everyone's quick to jump on the vaccine. I'm very pro-choice. I don't think you'd have to take it if you don't want to take it. However, Triple H spent many years of his life on steroids and other performance-enhancing things that does not bode well for your heart when you get old. Hulk Hogan is going through issues with things now, with about the heart and more about mobility and things. But this is what ends up happening sometimes when you do years and years and years of performance-enhancing drugs. So I would sooner think it was that. But I can't tell you for sure. The timing is a little odd. So, Mike, I've heard that rumor. I don't know what to say about it other than we can't confirm or deny it.
Right. Think about this, you know. Think about the amount of in the Hulk Hogan era. Think about the amount of people that did that stuff, you know, from the Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorffs to the Don Morocco's to the, you know, all these people that were alleged to have done these performance-enhancing drugs that later on in life had problems, you know?
Yep, absolutely.
You know, think about it.
Eddie Guerrero.
You know, Eddie Guerrero, yeah, you know.
Yep.
Chris Benoit, you know.
Yep.
You know, that type of stuff, you know. You know, we all the time say that the wrestlers should be allowed because should be allowed to do this stuff because wrestling is a business built on how you look, right? And you want to look your best when you're performing. Now, looking your best can come at a price, and that price may not happen right away. It may happen 10, 15, 20 years down the line when you're –
Well,
you know,
not only that, Mike, but, I mean, these are guys who they have no medical knowledge, so – Much like Greg Savage had once said, we were just injecting. We don't know how much. We didn't know how low we were. I mean, if you had a doctor, if this was legal so doctors could do it and they'd say, look, we're testing your level every single time before we give it to you and we're only giving you safe amounts and everything, it might be better. It might be better if they just removed it from a banned list in stuff like WWE. Because then a qualified doctor would administer it, not your tag team partner, who has no idea what the F they're doing or how much you should take. So that's what ended up happening to some of the old school guys. They would, oh, how much do I take? I don't know, this much. You do it. Oh, you can't have that. You can't have that. I mean, you take enough aspirin, you could die. So you can't just be filling, you know, needles with as much as you think and saying, I'll take it as much as I think I need it. You need to go under a doctor's care, and doctors can't do it because it's illegal. So it's kind of a catch 22. So we don't know, folks. Make your own mind up on that. Maybe Triple H will speak on it, but I don't think so. One last thing I do want to mention has very little, if anything, to do with wrestling, but I want to mention it. And that is that, as many of you know, I am a musician, and each year we do an annual fundraising drive here locally for warm winter clothes and toys for underprivileged children. We use people to raise money for that, and what we do is we put out a music video, and for every view it gets from noon today until noon, or I'm sorry, until midnight, our a designated amount of money. We use that amount of money to buy warm winter jackets, gloves, mittens, as well as toys for children, and then we deliver them. I deliver them personally to the charity. We shoot a video so you can see that the things have been delivered. We have a message from the charity sponsor to the people that we post on our Facebook, and you can go over to my personal page, which is just Marcus Kane. And you can find that video. And if you watch it, click on it and watch it, you'll be helping me to help some very needy children and families this year to get warm winter clothes and toys. So we want to thank you in advance for that. We want to thank you for listening to the show. And we will talk to you on Monday with more Wrestle Chat Radio. You're listening to Wrestle Chat Radio. Wrestle Chat Radio is a Savage Blade production.